Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. This hour, we're looking at three separate art pieces exploring the life and work of photographer Robert Mapplethorpe. Our next conversation is about a film that takes place in New York in the 70s and 80s, when Mapplethorpe struggled for mainstream recognition and on through the height of his career. It was directed by Andy Timoner, who has twice won the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance. The biopic is simply called Mapplethorpe and explores the bohemian lifestyle he lived with Patti Smith and other artists and musicians and film stars at the famed Chelsea Hotel. Robert Mapplethorpe is played by actor Matt Smith. You know him as Doctor Who and Prince Philip in The Crown. I spoke with Matt and Andy about the film back in March.
Yeah, he's a fascinating creature. And weirdly enough, we just went to the gallery and...
To the Guggenheim.
To the Guggenheim.
We just had the curators on.
Listen, go and see it, New York City.
It's beautiful.
It's amazing. And I'm in the gift shop downstairs and I'm buying some, like, Mapplethorpe stuff. And then I get this tap on my shoulder and it's his brother. Edward.
What?
Randomly, who came to see the gallery and was like, hey man, you played my brother. I'm like, what the fudge? His brother was there.
That's so incredible.
It was beautiful. I mean, I hadn't talked to him. I hadn't spoken to him about the film. I hadn't known what he thought of it, and some journalists had asked. And I said, I don't actually know if he's seen it because I don't think he was around when the Tribeca premiere. Mm. And it was so nice to hear that he really loved it. He thought it was great. And
he
thought Brandon
nice
Splenar.
Yeah.
Because there's,
who
for Brandon people who
plays
don't...
him, he thought he did a spot on job.
They look quite similar, don't they?
Yeah, that's why.
Random.
Yeah, one of the reasons we cast him.
People who don't understand know that Robert and his brother had a difficult relationship. Robert wasn't particularly generous at times to his brother. So that's interesting that he would feel... like the film was good, even though it was really exploring a really difficult thing, which is family that doesn't take care of family.
Yeah, it's quite a hard storyline, that, isn't it? In a way, he was quite difficult, Robert. That's why I kind of like him.
Yeah, we both decided that we would just go for it, and it really would make an unflinching portrait of this man who was all about contrast and black and white and. Was like that in his character as well. And mm-hmm. So when he was facing his mortality and his brother was going to live on and carry the name, it was just too much for him after all that he had done to break through all these walls and all, you know, and pull everything out, you know, and became this famous photographer. And you weren't famous if he didn't photograph you. And then suddenly he's going to die mm-hmm. and Edward's going to get to carry it on. That was too much for him to bear. Made him change his name.
My guests are director Andy Timoner and Matt Smith. We're talking about the film Mapplethorpe. So, Matt, you dropped a ton of weight for this role.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, I dropped some.
And you don't have a lot to drop. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you know.
You're just coming off Prince Philip.
Yeah, I was so bit, yeah. And I had to do it quite quickly. That was the only tricky thing. I only had like 6-7 weeks, so it was miserable. It was a miserable few weeks. But, you know. Had to be done.
We shot the AIDS portion first, so that he was the thinnest. And then we pulled out the Levain Bakery chocolate chip cookies when we needed him to cheer
Man
up.
Man alive, that cookie place is serious. I love that place, honestly.
And Levain Bakery.
It was the first time that I'd had, like, I love chocolate. And it was there was a scene on the steps, and it was like the first time that I'd had it. And I was just like, again. Give me another cookie. You know, because usually when you have scenes and you're eating, it's actually one of my pet hates. Watch actors in scenes where they eat. And it's very rare that you see actors properly eat, unless you're watching like a Martin Scorsese film where they really eat.
Matt ate the cookie.
Yeah, man, because I like want to see people eat on screen, you know, and so many actors are like, oh, I'm going to pretend to eat this pea. And they sort of move their food around a lot, whatever, none of that.
Yeah,
method, man.
Well,
it goes to cookies.
Yeah.
And directors ask, what's it like working with Matt? What, you know, any tips? I'm like, go get Levain Bakery chocolate chip cookies. And just don't skimp.
Yeah.
Don't skimp.
We don't do them like that in England, man. That's one thing we don't do as well.
What about the accent? Because you really had to nail a Queen's accent. How did you, did you work with a coach?
Yeah.
Did you just hang out in Queens for a while?
Yeah, yeah. I had a lovely coach actually who lives in New York. And just listen to him as much as possible. He has quite a particular phraseology and a particular cadence. And eventually you sort of have to let it go and do it as you do it. But yeah, just listen and repeat, listen and repeat, listen and repeat.
The film also talks a lot about his early life and that he was from a devoutly Catholic family. Matt, how do you think that played into the way you decided to construct this part?
Well, you know, I think weirdly, with any character, with any person, I know actually religion, and if you've been to church heavily as a child, it is in you or in some way, shape or form, for better or worse, in your later life. And I think it informed his view of the world so massively. I think it informed his relationship to the devil, which he was really interested in, his relationship to his own sexuality, which so much of that must have been a grapple with his relationship to God and his family's relationship to his sexuality. And I just think it was so significant in all of these things, especially his art.
I don't think we would even know of Robert Mapplethorpe if he hadn't been an altar boy in the Catholic Church, honestly. I think it's absolutely crucial to his character, both what he was fighting against, but also what he worshipped. He loved the iconography, and it informed his work massively. Mm. But I think what he found really sexy, you know, was not necessarily what the Catholic Church would want people to focus on. It wasn't as much deifying as it was the sex of it, how sexy it was, how sexy Jesus. And, you know, and I feel like to some extent he felt like he was making a deal with the devil in his life and his work with his life choices because of, you know, how homosexuality was viewed back then.
Yeah, you do get into that struggle, that internal struggle he has initially, because when he brings Patti Smith home, he's like, we have to say we're married. Mm. Not just that you're my girlfriend, but we're married.
Mm.
And it was really interesting to think about him sitting in like a Queen's house with the straight-laced. You don't think about that when you think about Robert Mapplethorpe. That I thought was really interesting. You decided to spend as much time as you did on his early life. Why did you?
Because I think it's, you know, we just get older, but we're carrying our little child inside us, you know? And I think Robert desperately wanted the love and respect of his father. It was very important to him, and he could never quite get there with it. And I think the part of it was that his... And then, of course, coming out was something that he knew would sever the relationship in most ways forever. And then, you know, as soon as he discovered the camera, it was like this grabbing onto the tail of a tiger or something, and it led him into these worlds. It was both a bridge, and it also was sort of protection. It mediated his world, so he could go into these clubs and be sort of apart, but at the same time, it was the way he could get in and explore his sexuality. And so I think, you know, his life work and the way that you see the form and the sculptural form that he ends up taking what was at first verite photography, where he would just shoot like seven guys in leather in a bar. He takes them now and he makes them into this, you know, two men, and it's sculptural, and maybe it's a bust, and maybe, you know, he's making Rodin and Michelangelo out of, and he's turning photography into fine art, and he's turning LGBTQ or gay life at that point, mm-hmm. and S&M into collectible, you know, museum worthy work that you cannot deny. That's so that we will love him. That's so that we will, you know, at the end of the day, he just wants to be accepted and loved, and he gains that. He actually does get that by the end of his mm-hmm. life. And I felt like, as a filmmaker, I needed to show the beginning, but I also really needed to show AIDS mm-hmm. and the fact that he gets sick and so many of his subjects die, you know, at the end of his life when he has actually accomplished everything that he set out to do. And he knew he would die young. Mm-hmm. He knew that line that he says to Sam Wagstaff in that bed is accurate. I mean, it's a quote from Robert Mapplethorpe.
Oh, that's interesting.
So he knew he had to do it fast. So by 42 years old, he's out.
So Matt, as you're researching playing Robert Mapplethorpe, and you have some experience playing real people. People know you play Prince Philip in The Crown.
Yeah.
What do you look for? What are you looking to read? What are you trying to figure out about someone who's real? This is not a fictional character.
Well, you know, you try and immerse yourself in the context of New York in the late 60s and the 70s. and the flavor and the tone of him, and as much literature as you can find, as much video footage as you can find nowadays. And I think with all of the sort of people that I've played that are real, I don't think it's like, I think some actors can do that thing where they can mimic and imitate them perfectly, and I don't think I can do that. But I think what I try and do is sort of capture an essence after you've done all that research, after you've read all the books and collated all the evidence that you can, to go, what is the essence of this man on some level? And try and then let that choice bleed into all of it, really, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Sure, it made absolute sense. Okay. What was something that you learned about him that kind of blew your mind? You really didn't know about him.
God, so many things, really. I mean, I when I first heard about it, I didn't know about his sort of sexual appetite. I didn't know just how hard he worked as well. And I think on a sort of personal level, what I find really amazing is a bit like amazing movie stars have, where if they talk to you, you're sort of the only person in the universe somehow in a room full of people. And I think Robert could do that in a way. Nah, he could make you feel like if he loved you, you felt adored. And I think that's, I don't know, I think those people are, you know, he's beguiling and brilliant.
Seductive too.
Yeah, and worked really, really, really hard. And it's funny, like if you go and see the gallery in New York City, which I think you should, like you realize in today's context, you talk about the kind of LGBT community and stuff like that, like his photos make so much sense now. And now I think he'd be lauded as a really positive artist. But then he was vilified for, you know, taking pictures of himself in makeup or taking explicit photos of gay men or women that are bodybuilders or just, you know, kind of celebrating indifference somehow.
My guests are Matt Smith and Andy Timoner. She is the director of the film Mapplethorpe. He is the star of the film. So you sort of set it out casually. We did this in 19 days. We weren't sure we were going to have fun. You wrote 58 drafts of this script. This wasn't something that just flowed easily. This has been a labor of love and a lot of hard work. At what point did you know, okay, this is actually going to happen?
Like the day before? Day.
Really?
The day off.
To be honest,
it almost fell apart the day before.
For real, what happened?
Just one of those things.
That you can tell me.
One of those things. It would be hard. Like, I don't know how long you have. How long do you have in New York City?
Not
long,
not
12
that
years.
Long. Yeah.
No, it was, you know, I originally optioned the material in 2006. So it's 12 years of development and being at the altar several times with different financiers, and things fall apart in this business for the most mysterious reasons, really. I mean, you just think you've seen it all and then something else happens. So it is a miracle. It's really a miracle that we have this movie to share with you. Mm. It's beautiful that we do. I mean, we were like on the, I think we had 10 days left before our rights ran out after 10 years with the Mapplethorpe estate.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was the final extension. I love those guys. They really helped me a lot, but they did scream at me the last time, and I was like, are you sure we can't have any more time?
That's so interesting.
Yeah, but a lot of these drafts were for different budget levels as well, and different scenarios. At some points, we were going to shoot it not in New York, which was always a terrible idea, I thought. But ultimately, you know, when things are bigger, like sometimes work is work that's meant to be, I feel like, is bigger than any one of us. And in this case, I felt Robert here with us wanting this film to be made, and his foundation and estate were very, very passionate about us making this and was supportive from the day one of my script and of me. So you know, it finally happened, thank God.
As soon as I saw the photos, I thought, oh my gosh, this has been sanctioned by the foundation. It has to be. You were able to use the images.
They allowed us to reproduce the images. It was very important that we had their support, but they did not by any means censor. I mean, as you can tell in the film, there's some really hardcore facts about Robert Mapplethorpe that are in this film. He is a very flawed character in this film, and they do not turn away from that. They did not make me change that in any way. So they've been a pleasure to work with. And Michael Stout was actually at his deathbed. I mean, he was his attorney. So these are people that knew him, that cared for him. So
I'm interested in your work with Andy, because you do a lot of documentary work. What's it like to work with a director who also does documentaries? Is there anything different about the way she works?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I've seen all of Ollie's films, and that was one of the reasons that I was excited to be part of it, because I sort of wanted that type of form, I suppose, which is free flowing and where you're capturing things that you see. The difficulty with this is that you're shooting on film, and film cuts money, man. you know, so like with all things and sort of different forms, you have to readjust your approach. And this is your first narrative feature, is it? Am I right in thinking that?
It's the first, I always call them scripted, but
scripted,
yeah, first scripted,
not
film.
Narrative feature, of course. Your first scripted movie. And we just kind of dived in and we're like, you know, once more to the breach, dear friends, once more.
Yes, yes. We would have, I think that we both had authenticity in mind, and that was something that, you know, as a doc filmmaker and especially as an editor of documentaries, like of my documentaries, choosing the authentic take or knowing when it feels real. I feel like there was trust between us because he had seen all my documentaries. And so we would visit in between these very few takes that we had. And sometimes we only had two. Sometimes we even had one.
One, yeah.
And he would have to trust that we had that
we
authentic take.
You got it. Well, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see you like reliving the moment.
Yeah.
When you think
yeah.
about you yeah, get this yeah. look on your face like,
you
oh,
sure?
yeah.
Feels brief, yeah. I mean, you know, we do have a choice, so yeah.
I also realized we wouldn't have enough peanut, like we wouldn't have enough time to get everything, to get all the connective tissue. So I went and got a bunch of Super 8 film, and I brought my Super 8 camera,
really,
and I kept it on
actually,
my
what? Good. That really adds to the film, I think, all that kind of Super
Thank
8
you.
Stuff.
Yeah, well, it kept you busy in between takes, because he would just be like, what is taking so long? And let's go.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, I'd just take it off my chair and shoot. It was like a little bit of peanut butter for the bread. So, and it gave us that, it gave even more, it lent more authenticity to it, you know, because Sandy Daly at the Chelsea Hotel, she was shooting Super 8 anyway, as it was.
Yeah.
You know, that was the medium of the time.
Yeah. What do you want people to know about Robert Mapplethorpe? Matt.
That he was uncompromising and brilliant, and you know, if you don't go and watch the film, go and see his work, because his photos are completely undeniable.
And he was very pretty himself. He was a lovely looking man.
Beautiful.
Was, you know, that was the one struggle for me, actually. Was
I had to always tell Matt he looked great.
Thanks, darling. He was. You know, again, it's that beguiling beauty that sort of transcendent in some way like that, and boy did he use it.
Matt looks pretty gorgeous in this film, and I came to recognize that if I stood on his left side and I got his left profile, it was the most similar to Robert Mapplethorpe.
Is that my good side?
It's the most similar to Robert.
Okay, I'll take that.
So
take
con-
that.
Like
any
I,
side
as
that
I recognize
I have
that
similar.
We kept putting the camera
put it in
there.
The corner.
The film is called Mapplethorpe. It stars Matt Smith. This is All of It on WNYC.